Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God from today's epistle found in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, where St. Paul writes, "This is what I mean, brothers. The appointed time has grown very short." And then Paul says at the end of our text, "The present form of this world is passing away." This is God's word. As you see in your bulletin, and as I said at the very beginning of the service, today is the third Sunday after the Epiphany. It is also very commonly in churches who defend the dignity of human life from conception all the way through death. We also observe today as Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. 45 years ago tomorrow, Roe versus Wade legalized abortion on demand here in our country. Now, some of you might prefer that we don't talk about that. You're thinking, it's politics. I don't want politics on Sunday morning. Too bad. It's important that we do speak about it. And you will always hear me from this pulpit and Bible studies and every opportunity I have speak about the importance of us being a people that defends human life in every single stage. Abortion, quite simply, destroys people. Destroys people that God has created that are valuable and precious to Him. And I'm not just talking about the unborn babies, which are now estimated to be more than 60 million in the past 45 years. I'm also talking about the mothers who are destroyed by abortion, the collateral damage, you might call it. Fathers who feel they have no voice on this issue. Grandparents or would-be grandparents who deal with grief and hurt. The nurses and workers in the abortion industry who have seen horrific things that they don't care to recount and yet they still struggle with. We as the church, as God's people, are a people of love, of mercy, of compassion, a people of the forgiveness bought by Jesus Christ and His death on the cross. And therefore, we as the church are equipped to speak this message to a world that so sorely needs it, that needs it just as much now as it ever has throughout history. I think this forms a good backdrop for our readings, which are all about urgency. You have Jonah going to Nineveh in our Old Testament reading to preach that message of repentance to Nineveh, a people that committed horrible atrocities to their neighbors, a people that had completely abandoned any notion of a God and service to Him. You have Jesus who says in our gospel, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." You could just as easily put the word "right now" in there. Jesus was urgent about His message. And then you have Him calling Simon and Andrew and James and John, telling them to leave everything behind, to come and follow Him, to be fishers of men. Because of the urgency of the kingdom that had come when Jesus came to this earth. And then today in our epistle, Paul says it plainly for us. And he's writing to the church in Corinth. I love 1 Corinthians. It might be my favorite book of the Bible. For this reason, because the Corinthians were a really screwed up church. Okay? I've been a part of a number of congregations throughout my life. Every congregation has troubles. Our Redeemer's had troubles. We've had things we've not agreed upon. And we've got a survey in the bulletin today all about service times. And we've got strong opinions on both sides about that. We've got nothing on Corinth. They were the most dysfunctional congregation perhaps you could ever find. They had disagreements on baptism. They had disagreements on the Lord's Supper. They had disagreements on sexual morality. They had disagreements on spiritual gifts. They even disagreed on the resurrection of Jesus, the most central belief in our Christian faith. And so here's Paul, writing with urgency. He says the appointed time has grown very short. From now on, let those who have wives live as though they had none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they had no dealings with it. In other words, Paul is saying, people in Corinth, get over your divisions. Get over the things that are making you laid back and comfortable. Be about the work of the gospel here and now in the time in which we live. And that message rings true to us today. People of God, brothers and sisters here at Our Redeemer, the time is short, the time is now for us to be focused on the work of God's kingdom. To cast aside those things that make us comfortable, those things that anchor us here to this world and keep us from focusing on the world to come. The reality is we are surrounded by a world of broken, hurting people. We are a congregation filled with broken, hurting people. Whether they're broken by something like abortion, and I know enough about this issue to know, even here in pretty traditional, conservative, Upper Peninsula, Iron Mountain, Kingsford area, I'm not ignorant enough to think that it's not impacted this church. Some of you are broken and hurting. It could be from abortion, or it could be from some other guilt or shame or vice or sin that weighs you down. We, the people of God, have the message for this time, this appointed time, this time that has grown short. We are called to repent and believe in the gospel as Jesus called to those fishermen on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. Paul, in his writing, in our epistle for today, has some pretty shocking words. And maybe they jump out at you. I know they jump off the page at me. Let those who have wives live as though they had none. Husbands, before you get too excited, let me tell you what Paul is not saying. Don't act as though you're unmarried and now free to pursue someone else. Don't ignore your spouse. What Paul is saying is look at those things in your life which consume you, which are in your mind of utmost importance, and realize what is of true importance, God's kingdom and the end of this world that is upon us. And certainly, for many people in the first century, and even now in the 21st century, a man trying to find a spouse is a difficult thing. I wasn't going to tell a personal story, and my wife's looking at me right now like, oh no, here he goes. But I'm going to do it anyway. I was about ready to leave for seminary. And I was a little scared of going to seminary as a single guy, because I thought it would be impossible to find someone who would want to date me, let alone marry me, when I was in seminary. And nonetheless, Heather and I met 3 months before I started seminary. Not only did we meet, start dating, we were married before I went. I'll be honest, part of me was, whew, crisis avoided, right? Because it can be a big strain, the importance of trying to find a spouse, a companion here in this world. And so a person who has already accomplished that, finding whether it's a husband or a wife, it's easy to say, oh, I've done it. I've achieved the life I want here in this world. Paul is saying no. You remember that urgency you had? That desire you had within you to find someone to spend your life with? Live with that urgency. Those of you who are mourning, and he's not saying don't mourn for those who have died. He's saying don't be caught up in the griefs of this world. Focus on the world to come. In other words, whatever it is anchoring you to this world and making you think that this life is of supreme importance, focus on the world to come. Because the present form of this world, Paul says, is passing away. And so comes this urgency in our readings today. Repent! Like Nineveh, repent! Believe in the gospel. It's what our Lord calls to us, and it's what we share with the world. Now is the time to repent. Believe in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who brings light that breaks the darkness, the one who is our true and only light that comes into this world to scatter the darkness and give us the hope of his death and resurrection. The call for us is to repent, to turn from sin, to turn from our love of this world. Because let's be honest, this world draws us to it. We have love of money, love of power, love of sex, love of approval. We want to know how many likes we're getting on that post on Facebook, or how many people are reacting to our Instagram photo. We love earthly pleasures, and we think that's the sum and substance of our life. But in reality, God's people have always been a forward-looking people. If you read the New Testament, you can't do it and not notice that God's people are always looking ahead to the world that is to come. Because our time here, dear friends in Christ, is short. The appointed time is short. This world is passing away. Repent. Believe in the gospel. The time is short. And now, right now is the time to realize that we are the people of God. With his message, his word, his gospel in our hearts and on our lips. You, our Redeemer Lutheran Church, are the people of God. And now is the time to bring this gospel of Jesus Christ to our community around us. You, husbands, and those who are married, the men especially, you are men of God. And now is the time to show the love of Jesus to your family. You, wives, are women of God. And now is the time to be an aid and a support and a strength for your husbands when they are weak. To teach your children to be godly and to confess the gospel of Jesus Christ. Children, you are children of God. And now is the time to show love and compassion to those other children who don't know the love of Jesus, because there's no one in their life to speak it to them. Even you who are single or widowed are part of the bride of Christ, the church. And now is the time to reflect his love to all. Not tomorrow, not in a year when the budget's in a better place, not next year when maybe we have more time, right now, in this moment. Our Lord and Good Shepherd says, follow me. Right now, follow me. But let's correct a misconception. Following Jesus does not mean leaving everything about your daily life. And it's not what Paul was saying either. It's about learning to recognize how your life is made up, what it consists of. Paul does not tell husbands to leave their wives. He doesn't tell the grieving, just get over it. He doesn't tell the people that money is of no importance of all. We are to go where Jesus is found. That's what it means to follow Jesus. Go where he's found. If he goes to Capernaum, like he did in our gospel today, that's where he goes next in the next part of John's or of Mark's gospel, then follow him there. And that's what Simon and Andrew and James and John did. They followed Jesus to Capernaum and wherever he went. If he goes to Bethany, go there. If he goes to Jerusalem, follow him there. And so the question I have for you is, where is Jesus found? Where do you go to follow him? We do not call this the Lord's house without reason, because this is the place where he's found. We do not call the Holy Scriptures God's word without reason, because he is found in that word. We do not call it the Lord's Supper without reason, because it is his meal and where he is found for you. Follow him. Where do you go to follow him? Exactly where you are this morning. Where the blood that he shed upon the cross is poured out upon you. Where your sin is removed. Where his Holy Spirit is given to strengthen your faith. To equip you. To speak of his love to your neighbors around you. This is our Lord's house. This is our Lord's word. This is our Lord's meal. Following Jesus means nothing more than going where he's found. Dear friends in Christ, you know exactly where he's found. You have the assurance and the promise that you have a Lord who is here with you, who equips you and strengthens you to speak a word of repentance and believing in the gospel that we carry to the world that is broken. A world broken by abortion. A world broken by all sorts of sexual sin. A world broken by shame and guilt and greed and lust and violence and hate and name it. There's a whole bunch of sins we can list. They permeate every one of our hearts. And you've come to hear that your Lord has forgiven you, shed his blood upon you, made you righteous and holy in his sight. Outside these doors lies a world of broken, hurting people who've not heard of this great love. But our Lord gives his word to you not to just hide away and keep to yourself, so that you can speak it. Maybe you consider yourself not equipped to be able to speak the word of God. That's nonsense. You are equipped to speak because you hear the word. And that's how you learn to speak. Like a child learns to speak by hearing the voice of its mother and father, you as God's children learn to speak by hearing the voice of your heavenly Father, who says, "The time is short, the kingdom's at hand. Repent and believe that I have loved you with an everlasting love, that my Son is your Savior and Redeemer, and that you can speak this word. And if you ever doubt you can speak it, all you need to do is hear it and hear it again, over and over and over." May God grant that you continue to hear this holy word, this blessed word, that you are loved, that you are forgiven, that you are God's dear children, and that you may bear it to a world broken, not just by abortion, not just by shame and guilt over sexual sin, but by all sorts of evil and wickedness. You have been given the word the world needs to hear. Speak it boldly, dear friends in Christ. Speak it with the confidence that the word that our God shares with our neighbors is the word he shares with you and continues to speak to you and lets you know where he may always be found. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.